You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Phillies reporter Todd Zalecki. Todd, throughout this offseason, we've kind of talked about the fact that the Phillies wanted to add another veteran bat, a corner outfielder if possible, and they've done that here with Michael Saunders. And so that's a perfect time for us to continue our kind of around the roster talk with the outfield here this week on the podcast. And we'll start with Michael Saunders. It's a one-year deal. There's a club option for 2018 as well. And that might be intriguing depending upon what happens with Saunders as far as his season goes, because 2016 was really interesting for Michael Saunders. He had a tremendous first half, all-star caliber player for the Blue Jays through the first half of the season. And then he really fell off the cliff. I mean, the average dipped under 200 for the second half of the season. So when the Phillies looked at him, what was the most intriguing part of Michael Saunders when they went to sign him?
Well, I think a few things. He's a left-handed bat that can hit for power. He can play left field, right field. He's going to play right field for the Phillies. He's also played some center field. And what you also mentioned, one-year, $9 million contract with a club option. The whole offseason, as we've talked before, has been geared about, you know, acquiring players in the final year of their deal, like Howie Kendrick, Pat Neshek, or guys on one-year contracts like Saunders, like Clay Buchholz, you know, Jeremy Hellickson's on a one-year deal, you know, Joaquin Benoit's on a one-year deal, to maintain that, you know, roster financial flexibility. But certainly, you know, Phillies manager Pete McCannon has been asking, I think probably since late July, early August, he's been asking for a kind of a middle-of-the-lineup type of hitter, and they got one in Saunders, at least for the short term.
Yeah, that's McCannon. I remember us talking about it mid-season maybe last year. He was already saying about, hey, next year we need to bring another bat in, and he's certainly right. The guy. Now, what made them go the route of Saunders as opposed to, we had talked about a guy like Brandon Moss? Is Moss really stuck on trying to get 2 years? Is that what this came down to, is maybe contract length?
Certainly, that could be one reason. You know, maybe Brandon just doesn't look at the Phillies as an opportunity for the postseason, which certainly is understandable. The Phillies are rebuilding. So I think maybe a combination of those things. He might want to play for a winner and maybe the contract length. And so I think from the Phillies' point of view, they were happy to get one of those two guys. They also had been kind of keeping their eye on Jay Bruce if the Mets decided at some point to unload him, kind of like the Red Sox did with Clay Buchholz. You know, take a top 30-ish prospect for Clay Buchholz. Oh, Phillies are like, oh, we can't turn that deal down. That would have been kind of what would have maybe had the Phillies jump in the market on Bruce. So Philly, basically, hey, Saunders, if you get Saunders, they weren't, you know, so much in love with Brandon Moss over Michael Saunders. I think they kind of looked at all those guys as similar players, corner outfielders that can hit for power, that are basically me on one-year contracts.
Yeah, and Saunders probably a little bit better as far as the outfield goes than Moss. And Saunders not on AstroTurf may be a nice bonus, too. He's been playing in Toronto. The grass in Philadelphia may be a good thing for him as well. Is he flippable with that club option if he has a great season for a team that needs a bat at July, to know that they could also keep him for an extra year if they wanted to?
Yeah, I think so. You know, pretty much every move that they have made has been with that in kind of the back of the Phillies' mind. You know, can we flip this guy come July 31st if we need to? Now, you know, Matt Klentak, the Phillies GM, has said, hey, listen, I would prefer not to trade any of these guys and have us kind of play over our heads a little bit and be, you know, on the kind of the outskirts of the wild card race, or maybe be, you know, kind of one of the surprise teams in the National League come the end of July. But if not, if that does not happen, they want to have as many options as possible to flip these players for a prospect or two that can maybe help them 2 or 3 years down the road, or maybe even next season. And Saunders, you know, obviously fits into that category. And boy, if he ends up having the first half that he had last year for Toronto and the Phillies are out of it and looking to make a trade, they could actually end up doing pretty well with this signing.
Yeah, I would think so as well. So he'll slot in right field. There's also a new left fielder in 2017 for the Phillies, and that is Howie Kendrick. You mentioned him in the one-year situation for him in Philadelphia as well. He's kind of new to the outfield. How does he stack up as far as playing in the outfield? Because it's a limited sample size still, obviously. He was an infielder for the majority of his career. But the Phillies have enough confidence that he can get things done out in left field?
Yeah, they do. I think, you know, they're not going into it thinking that he's going to be a Gold Glover out there, but I think they believe that he's somebody that can at least play competently, go out and catch a ball, catch what's hit to him, you know, maybe cut off a few balls here and there. But yes, you know, they don't think he's Roman Quinn or Aaron Altair or Odubel Herrera. But, you know, and they didn't get him for that. They got him because they think he's been the analytics show that the Phillies believe that he can have a bounce. He's in store for a bounce back year offensively. And they looked at him as an upgrade over what they had last year in left field. So they're going to get what they get from him defensively, but they really did get him for the offense and for a little bit of the veteran presence that they're kind of lacking right now, although Michael Saunders adding him adds a little bit of help too.
And then in center field, it's the one spot in this outfield where you have the young guy who could be a contributor to this Phillies team for years. Obviously, Odubel Herrera, an all-star type player in 2016. Is he secure as far as this team thinking of him as the center fielder of the future at this point? Or are there still question marks around Odubel Herrera?
I think based off of what I've heard, I think they're pretty sold on him as a center fielder. Now, that can change, but you know, mid-season last year, Pete McCannon got pretty frustrated with what Odubel Herrera was doing in center field. And, you know, he benched him for a few games. He talked about maybe moving him to left field or right field. But Matt Klentak mentioned something that when they signed him to the contract extension, that the analytics that are available publicly show this as well, that he actually graded out very well as a defensive center fielder last year. So while he might have the occasional lapse in judgment, he is pretty good. So Matt Klentak sounded like he is our center fielder going forward. Now, you know, if Roman Quinn comes on and at some point this season and plays great, possibly down the road they could switch Odubel to left field or right field. But for right now, it doesn't sound like there's any plans at all of moving him outside of center field. I think they want to keep him there. He's comfortable there. He's their best pure hitter, so I don't know if they want to mess with that necessarily. So there's a lot of reasons why I think, you know, he's pretty locked in center.
Yeah, and he certainly is for this year. That is for sure, if not going forward. Saunders will play right. What are the chances that becomes or morphs into a platoon situation with Aaron Altair in right field?
I think there's definitely a shot at that. You know, Aaron Altair went into spring training last year as he's going to be the team's, I think he was going to be the left fielder, maybe Peter Borges in right. But he was going to be one of their everyday outfielders going into spring training last year. Then he had the wrist injury, missed most of the season, came back, I believe it was in early August, sometime in August. But he really, really struggled. So the Phillies aren't maybe as high on him as they were at this point last year. But with Michael Saunders in right, I think there is an opportunity for Aaron Altair to get some at-bats. And the beautiful part about Aaron Altair is he's very good defensively. So if they need to give Odubel Herrera a day off, Altair can play in center field. If they want to give Holly Kendrick a day off, Altair can play in left field. So I think there's actually going to be quite a few opportunities for him to play. Maybe not, obviously, as an everyday player, but anytime that one of those three guys needs a day off or there's a good matchup, I think you're going to see Aaron Altair in there as long as he produces. And this is going to be a big opportunity for him. He has to produce certainly more than he did last year with the Phillies.
And then the other player impacted by the addition of Saunders is the guy you also mentioned, and that's Roman Quinn. And obviously, he's a guy that got a taste of the major leagues late last season, but he spent the whole year pretty much in Double-A. So it seems like there's still work to be done before he's ready to be a regular on this roster. But what are his chances heading into spring training of finding his way onto the opening day roster?
Honestly, I think the only opportunity he has or the best chance he has would be if somebody would get injured. You know, in conversations I had before the Phillies signed Michael Saunders, I got the feeling that if they would get Saunders or Moss or Bruce or whomever, that they would bump Roman Quinn down to AAA because they are a high on him and they look at him as an everyday player. And because he has missed so much time over the years with injuries, I mean, he is always on the disabled list, it seems. Having him on the big league roster as the fourth or fifth outfielder just doesn't make sense for them because they think that he needs more experience, more developmental time, and definitely more, which definitely means more plate appearances. So now with Saunders is there, if everybody stays healthy in spring training, I would be stunned, let me put it this way, if Roman Quinn made the big league roster. I think he's going to start the season in AAA. And if he can stay healthy and play well, then he can work his way up at some point because, you know, having Kendrick and Saunders on one-year contracts means the Phillies aren't necessarily committed to them. So if it's late in the season, the Phillies are out of it. You know, Roman Quinn's hitting over 300 with 60 stolen bases in AAA. You know, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't come up at some point and take over an everyday role.
And then he's with that core that he was with a year ago, too. That was a very talented Redding team in 2016, and you would think a lot of those guys will make their way up to start the year in Lehigh Valley in 2017. He'll be part of that. And there's some comfort there as well, especially when that team had so much success a year ago, to keep winning at the minor league level rather than maybe not be winning at the major league level.
Yeah, you know, it's a pretty interesting outfield in AAA this year, potentially, with Quinn. Nick Williams, who probably would have gotten called up late last season, except he struggled in August with the iron picks, and then Dylan Cousins, who was one of their minor league players of the year. And that's a pretty talented minor league outfielder with a lot of potential. The Phillies remain high on all three of those guys. So it'll be fun to kind of watch who really steps up this year and who might get a call up sooner rather than later. You know, last year I said Nick Williams is going to be the first Phillies prospect called up, and he didn't get called up at all, so what do I know? But if those guys play well eventually, you know, they're going to be back up. They're going to be up and trying to make a name for themselves with the Phillies.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting to see how Williams handles. You know, you talk about baseball and the failures and having to cope with the failures, and Nick Williams, a high prospect, and he had to deal with that in 2016. So this, is, I think, is a big season for him to see how he copes with it and bounces back. And certainly he's got all the tools to be a very good major league ball player. All right, it's going to be an interesting outfield for the Phillies, and Saunders certainly adds some pop to that lineup and will make this team a little more interesting on the field in 2017. We'll continue around the roster again next week, but that's a look inside the Phillies outfield. For Todd Zalecki, I'm Tim McMaster. Thanks for tuning in to MLB.com Extras, our Phillies edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.